Reading from Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we completed the Chaturyam Sadhana, which represents Ruchi and Nam Bhajan, with 23 verses from this chapter 4, describing how to chant the holy name and do bhajan according to the teaching of Lord Chaitanya given in Shikshastakam. Nadaram na janana sundaram kavitam va jagadishikamaye mama janmane janmane yashvade bhavatad bhaktirya hoitakitoyi. The next level of bhajan, in this Bhajan Rahasyam, he calls it pancham yam sarana. Pancha means five. It's like you can say chapter five. But he calls this aparan kaliya bhajan, Krishna asakti. This is a level of rati, attachment to Krishna, which comes after ruchi. This is practicing bhajan on a level of attachment. Before we begin the discussion of this verse, the word meaning, and then the accompanying verses from Bhajan Rahasyam which explain it, I want to read from our notes about this principle of Yugal Nam and the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra has eight pairs of names: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is four pairs of names. Then Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is four. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explaining that each of these pairs of names for the Ajata Rati Sadaka, or the Sadaka who has not yet attained a level of Bhava Bhakti, or Rati, he will see, he will understand, or he will realize different principles of devotion in each of these pairs of holy name. At the level of bhava, he's telling, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling, he is called Jata Rati Sadaka. That sadaka or practitioner who has actually come to the level of bhava or rati, he will experience actual lila, astakali lila. That's why he calls this aparan kaliya bhajan. The aparan lila is in the afternoon, this time, when Krishna is returning from the cow herding, returning from Surya Kund. This is from 3:36 in the evening until 6 p.m. And those that are on the level of bhava, they will chant the Maha Mantra and meditate on this astakali lila, because at the level of bhava, one is actually realized in his siddhadeha. And along with meditating, he'll also render manasi seva there. He'll render service to Krishna's pastimes, serving Radharani and Yavat, or Barsana, and arranging for her to meet Krishna on the footpath, and helping her cook various sweets, Ananga Gutika, Gangajal Ladu, Siddhi Vilas, Amrit, and other sweets that she offers to Krishna in evening time and also after Rasa dance, late at night, Nisha Lila. So various services will be rendered by the Bhava Bhakta in his Manasi Seva. And moreover, when he chants the fifth pair of names, this Hari Ram, contained in these two words, of course, is Radha and Krishna. But as we know, or we hear from Madhurya Kadambini and other scriptures, that Krishna's name, Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnashuddha Nityamukta Binatva Namanamano. That is complete. Krishna's name is complete and full. Complete and full means that Krishna's name is full of his qualities and full of his form and full of his pastimes. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taking that principle, he specifies that. So yes, the Maha Mantra, or Krishna's name, is full of his form and the form of all his devotees, and is full of his qualities and pastimes. And specifically, if you break the mantra into different parts, there are eight different parts or different pairs. And this fifth pair, this Hari Ram, represents asakti. That's for the Ajatarati Sadaka, one who's trying to come to the level of Bhava Bhakti. But for one who's in Bhava, when he chants Hari Ram, that mantra will open up a particular lila, a particular Nam Rup Gunan lila. He'll open up the lila of Aparan lila. He'll chant Hari Ram. It's like you have eight keys. So you have eight keys, and there's eight doors. There's a house with eight doors. And there's one lock, one key for each door. So you put one key, open the lock, and go in the room. And there's so many different things inside that room. Whatever, so many chairs or whatever. And you take another key and open it, and there's different things. So each of the pair of holy names is like a key to the different leelas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Hail Chen, Hari Ram. And Hari Ram will open this Aparan Leela. Because contained in Hari Ram is Aparan Leela. Just in those two words, Hari Ram. There's an entire Nitya Leela going on. So that's something to be realized. We read about it, we discuss it. And when one comes to the level of Bhava, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the secret of the holy name will be revealed to him. Because this is all about Nam Bhajan. This is Nam Bhajan, which is a bhajan for everyone in Gaudiya Sampradaya. There's no Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya that doesn't instruct his disciples to do Nam Bhajan. Nam Bhajan, because even in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is saying Nam Bhajan is there with everything. Whatever we're doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, everything plus Nam. Archanam plus Nam, Smaranam plus Nam, Shravanam plus Nam. You see, especially here, when you go here in Radhakund, you see so many people, they come to class, they sit in the pots, Sham Sundar Das Baba, or Anantadas Pandit, or the Vishwanath, and there's so many different great devotees giving lectures. And all the devotees are sitting there in a lecture with their bead bags. They're listening, Shravanam, and they're chanting Japa. 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs throughout the day. Nam is going on. So Nam is always going on. It's the undercurrent. It's the river. The river of Nam is always flowing in the heart of the devotee. So this is what, and this river is something that cleans. The river has water, and water is purifying. It cleans. So whatever we contact with, we always dip it in the river of Harinam. We're doing Archan, and the river of Harinam is accompanying it. We're doing Smaran, because the Harinam actually purifies our Smaran. Because the Smaran is done with the mind. If the mind is restless or impure, it's very difficult, practically impossible to do Smaran. So when the mind is pure and calm and peaceful, then one can do Smaran. And even then, the mind can become upset by bad news or infirm body or disease. So the Mahamantra always, the current of the Mahamantra, when that's flowing in the heart and mind and practically being chanted, then that current will wash away any anomalies or any difficulties that we face in practicing the 9 limbs of bhakti. So therefore, practically everywhere you'll hear about Nam Bhajan. So his realization, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's realization, in doing Nam Bhajan, one will come to a state of advancement where he chants Hari Ram and he finds himself flowing in the river of Aparan Leela. Hari Ram. We're in Aparan Leela. And then when we chant, what is it? Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, and fourth pair of mantras, that takes us to Madhyan Leela. So this is his idea. So I want to review this from his earlier in the book. You may not have the book to begin with, and secondly, you may have forgotten, but this is discussed. And we summarize it here. What is the significance of these pairs of names? Hare Krishna. So, this is a review. The first pair, Hare Krishna, this represents Shraddha, or faith. And hidden in this first pair of names is Krishna Nam Sankirtan performed with Shraddha. And this Nam Sankirtan nullifies our ignorance and cleanses the mirror of our heart. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Shraddha means faith. And this is the quality that we need to begin Krishna Bhajan. The first verse of Shikshastakam, Cheta Darpana Marjanam, this indicates the process of Bhajan for this stage of Shraddha. So then he's explaining that's what Hare Krishna means is. It represents Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. It represents Shraddha, purification of the heart. and preparing one with the foundation or background to engage in Nam Bhajan. And then I also have another point here. He also says, in no one other place, he says, Hare Krishna represents the destruction of ignorance and the chanting of the holy name with faith. So part of why he's breaking the Maha Mantra down into these different concepts is that for those that are not on the level of bhava, which is probably most of us, I would assume, at least speaking from this side, these are meanings of the holy name, because it's told that mantra artha chintata, that when one is chanting the holy name, he should consider or think about the meaning of the holy name. So the meaning of the holy name means that the whole mantra taken together, O Mother Hara, O Energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, O Ladini Shakti, please engage me in the service of Krishna. This is called mantra artha chintata. One should think over this meaning, meditate on this meaning, because this is the basis of all progress and devotion, is seva abhiman. Without seva abhiman, we can't go anywhere. What is gopi bhav? It is a bhav. Abhiman means a mentality, a bhav, a sentiment, a feeling, a mood of love. So the mood of love is service. Service is a mood. It includes humility and submission and dependence and desire to please another. So this mood... What's that? Oh, it's tissue. Oh, I couldn't see. I can't see. I didn't know what it was. Thank you. So this Seva Abhiman, this is the basis. So the Maha Mantra of Prabhupada has given us this meaning. This is a mantra artha. And we should reflect on this, because this will go all the way to the spiritual world, Seva Bhav. What is Gopi Bhav is nothing but Seva Bhav. In the most purified purified form is Gopi Bhav. There's no purer servants of Krishna than the gopis. And the purest and topmost servitor of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So we can also break the Maha Mantra down in this eightfold way by these two words, Hare Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, of course we chant the whole mantra. We may we can't just say, well, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not like that. You may think like that. But the idea is that we can think this Hare Krishna represents destruction of ignorance and faith. And the second pair, Hare Krishna, represents that this second verse, the Nam Namakari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shaktis, that Krishna's name is invested with potency. Here one becomes attached to Nam Bhajan by taking shelter of the holy name in association of saintly devotees. He becomes attached to Bhajan. By advancing along this progressive path of Bhajan, one's contaminations are removed and one begins to chant with fixed determination. So this second pair, Hare Krishna, this is representing Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti. So again, as we started with the first Hare Krishna, the second Hare Krishna continues to destroy ignorance and the heart. Because now we're performing Nam Sankirtan in association devotees. At this pair of holy names, Hare Krishna, second pair, the sadhaka becomes free from anarthas, anartha nivritti. At this stage, one starts to develop attachment for bhajan. So this Hare Krishna represents some attachment for bhajan and to an attachment to be in association with devotees. And one begins to realize that the Nam, the holy name of Krishna, and the Nami, Krishna himself, are non-different. The holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra, is Radha and Krishna. This level of bhajan is for the Ajatarati Sadaka, is in accordance with the second verse of Shikshastakam. This is the whole way that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting this secrets of bhajan and bhajan rahasyam. Requires these verses of Lord Chaitanya are the sum and substance of the entire Vedic literature. People don't have much time now, they're very busy and short-lived. So Lord Chaitanya summarized the entire Vedas in eight verses. So Sambandhas here, Avideya Prayojana. So one should be very methodical and very deeply understand each of these verses. That's why this book is given. Because when one studies this verse, Nam Namakari Bahuda, he studies it, he prays to Lord Chaitanya to reveal what is this Sarva Shakti. We say, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. All your powers. This verse itself, when we're chanting this second name, Hare Krishna, and studying this verse, then all these things should happen. Just by studying this verse. Studying this verse and chanting the Maha Mantra, Lord Chaitanya is telling that you will realize that Krishna's name and Krishna himself are non-different. And who can say that? Who can really say that? And this is the very beginning steps of bhajan. We're not even talking about ruchi or nishtha and ruchi. So, because we gloss over it. We gloss over it. Every day in the temples they say, Nam Namakari Vadya. And then if you don't live in a temple nowadays, so many people live here and there and everywhere. They say, oh, what is this? This morning program, forget it. I just get up and I chant Hare Krishna Chalega. I do my smaran or whatever I do. And this shikshastikam, after a couple of years of living independently away from the temple, they can't even say it. They don't even know how to say it. They don't even know what it is. You ask somebody, they're sitting on the banks of Radhakund and they're doing Leela Smaran. Say, can you please tell me the Shikshastakam? They'll say, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. Blah, blah. It's like, oh, very good. Very, very good. Very, very good. This is nothing. What is this Shikshastakam? Who is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I don't need the Shikshastakam. What is this? You know, I have Siddha Pranali. But the very person that gives us Siddha Pranali has written entire commentaries on Shikshastakam. The person that's given us Siddha Pranali, and at least in some cases, I don't know who's here or whatever, but some of the acharyas, the pandits that are also giving Siddha Pranali to disciple, they've realized, they know the Shikshastakam inside and out. And they've realized it. And they're applying it in their chanting of Nam and in their Smaran. So we should also do the same. Why are they writing all these commentaries? Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many other acharyas. So this is our bhajan. Our bhajan is Shikshastakam. Our bhajan is the holy name. Our bhajan is this verse from 19th chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Doshata Tata Sarasanga. So therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti has given us books like Madhurya Kadambini because this is supplementary to this bhajan. And Rupa has given us Upadeshamrita. And Raghunath Das has given us Manashiksha. So all these together are part of the Nam Bhajan. And they all must be deeply studied, deeply realized. And then when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the second Hare Krishna, then all these experiences will be happen. Because now we're at Hari Ram. We're at a Sakti. We're at Rati. At least theoretically in our discussion. Krishna, Krishna. This represents Nishta. Nishta means Trinadapi Sunichena. And we discussed that last year. For the Ajata Rati Saraka, chanting Krishna Krishna, when he chants Krishna Krishna, the devotee feels great inspiration to pursue the ideal character, services, and qualities of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and other pure devotees like Narottam Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. Of course, the last three we added. But the first ones were given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One who is not on the level of bhava, but when he comes to this third stage, this is the third stage of bhajan. Bhajan has stages. This is the third stage of bhajan, which is all about sadhana. This is for those on the level of vaidhi or raganuga sadhana. They will come to the stage. And at this stage, if they have come to the stage, then they will exemplify or embody the qualities that Lord Chaitanya mentions, the four qualities of steadiness or nishchita bhakti. That are mentioned in the third shloka of Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena tadorivastahishana amanina manidena kirtaniya sadhari. To be very, very humble, very tolerant, prideless, and very much feeling honor for others, showing honor and respect to all living entities, high or low, man or woman, bird or beast, ant or fish or whatever. They'll show them honor and respect them according to their position. This is Nishta. And then this is a very interesting point. He's saying he's a realized soul. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is highly realized, pure devotee, Kamala Mandri. And he's saying, this will happen to you. Believe it. Just like people sell products, they say, listen, you take this powder, you mix it with water, you take it at night. And then tomorrow, sometime next day tomorrow, many things will slide out the back door. Out the back door, many things will slide out. So you take that powder and you mix it with water and you take it at night before you take rest. And next day sometime, many things slide out. Right? Because the doctor is giving you Aesop gold. You've heard of Aesop gold? Or so many, you know, other things. So it's an intestinal cleanser. Right? You have facial cleansers and intestinal cleansers and all kinds of cleansers. You have heart cleansers. We only deal on one product. We sell heart cleansers. Forget about your face and your tail. Your tail and your face. We're more concerned with your heart. So our heart cleanser is the Maha Mantra. So they're telling us, you take this, you'll get this effect. So those realized acharyas of devotion, they're saying that this is the third stage of bhajan. And we can judge our own progress. Am I on the third stage of bhajan? This is represented by Krishna Krishna. Have I attained Nishta? Of course, Madhurya Kadambini gets even more particular and specific in terms of the measuring where we are. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling here that one will feel great inspiration to pursue the ideal character, service, and qualities of the six Goswamis and other great acharyas. So, okay, you can say, yes, I'm really inspired. Someone might say, yes, I'm really inspired to follow the character and, what do they say, qualities of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Narottam Vishnath. Oh, that's fine. Now what? That's all you say is I'm really inspired? No, then there's action. Because inspiration is some spark in the mind. It's some light bulb goes off in the mind. Oh, I should do this. Or I'm inspired. I should, this is good for me. Well then, how does that inspiration express itself? What are the tangible activities of that mental spark? So these activities express themselves. And Srinivasacharya, he points us in a direction. Srinivasacharya himself was an inspired follower of Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. I believe he was even a disciple, a shiksha, or diksha disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srinivasacharya. So he points us in a direction. Yes, you have some inspiration? You're inspired to follow the six Goswamis? Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago Sri Jiva Gopala Go. That's very nice. That's nice. Now sit down and be inspired. No, he's saying here, now express your inspiration. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi kalava sannikrito nidrahara vihara kari vijato chatyanta dino chayo. And Srinivas says, you're inspired? Then do this. Do like they do. Sankhya. Count the name every day. Sankhya. 16 rounds, 32 rounds, 64 rounds, 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs. Sankhya, purvaka nam. Beginning with nam. Everything begins with nam. Everything is sustained by nam. And everything concludes with nam. And nam continues. It goes nam, 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 nam. It's only nam. Akanda nam. Chanta nam here, chanta nam there. Kirtaniya, sadahari. So, as we mentioned here, we should... Specifically, the sadhak will follow their example of chanting a fixed number of rounds and their example of uttering a fixed number of prayers, astikam, stotras, and their offering of a fixed number of obeisances to Krishna, Gauranga, their associates, and their lila stalis. So this is all contained in this this song. This bhajan by Srinivas Acharya is showing you the bhajan as a sadhaka, in sadhaka rup, in external form, and it's showing you what to do as a in your siddha rup. It's called Seva Sadhaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatrahi. Rupa Goswami is explaining in the chapter on Raghunuga Bhakti, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Seva Sadhaka Rupena. In our sadhaka rup, we do seva. And in our siddha rup, we also do seva. It's not that, and this is for those in the level of Raghunuga Bhakti. Then not that we say, oh, I'm only doing smaran, I'm not doing any seva. Whereas you can say smaran is seva. But when he says seva, this means active seva. So everyone, he says, seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena chatrihi. So there's sevas going on both sides. Sevas with the sadhaka rup, and sevas with the siddha rup. Sevas always going on. Jivera sodrupaya, Krishnera nityadas. Because we're nityadas. So in this Goswami Astakam, they're explaining how the Goswamis are serving in their siddha deha, and they're explaining how the Goswamis are serving in their sadhaka deha. So these two lines of this verse, I believe the sixth verse, Srinivas Acharya is explaining how the six Goswamis are serving in their sadhaka deha. And they are the residents of Vrindavan that we're supposed to follow. It's called Anugatya. We're supposed to follow the residents of the Vrindavan, like Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Sankhya Nam, Sankhya Gan, Sankhya Natibi. This is what this song, this prayer is saying. So this word Sankhya in Sanskrit refers to all three items in the line, in the list. It's called a pada. We should chant a fixed number of names. And then the second thing is Sankhya Purvakanam Gana. Gana means songs. Songs, bhajans, astikams, stotrams, stutis, Radha Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam. Depending on one's taibhav, or what mood of love or devotion one is interested in, then he should chant the appropriate prayers, mantras, songs, etc. It's not that you chant a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of this. If you're interested in Madhurya Bhav, or in the mood of loving, of serving Radha and Krishna like the gopis of Vrindavan, then all the songs and stotras that you chant, or sing, or recite, are all about Radha and Krishna and Madhurya Bhav. This is called Bhakti Anukul. Anukulyena Sankopa, Pratikul Yasya Varjanam. So this is Gan, Sankhya and Gan, and Natibi. Natibi means humility, but actually in the commentaries in this verse, they say Natibi means obeisances, Dandavats, Dandavat Maharaj. So our Raghunath Das, everyone knows, it's quite famous. Raghunath Das Goswami, every day he was offering so many dandavats to the devotees, 2,000 times to the devotees, and to the Lord Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and their various forms and pastime places, 1,000 times. Someone sometimes asks a question. How is it possible that Raghunath Das was offering obeisances to 2,000 devotees every day? Because he was living here at Shamakund, on the banks of Shamakund 500 years ago, and there were only about 10 people here. There wasn't very many people here. There was probably more monkeys than there were people. Certainly now there's more monkeys. There are a lot of tigers also. But he was offering obeisances because all those devotees were residing in his heart. So he's offering his heart at the feet of all those devotees by offering dandavats to them. So he would invoke the memory of that devotee in his heart by his memory, by his prayer. And then he, bringing that devotee into his heart, into his mind, and fixing the lotus feet of that devotee in his mind and heart, he would call out the name of that devotee and fall on the ground in front of his kutir. Mukundadas Prindadevi Ki Jai. And he would offer obeisances. He would remember their identity in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. like this. Raghunath Das Goswami Rati Manjari Vanumati Tulsi Manjari Ki Jai. And would offer dandavats. Sri Rupa Goswami Sri Rupa Manjari Ki dandavats. Like this. Right. Shivananda Saint Champakalata Saki Ki Jai. 2,000 times. And we feel tired if we offer obeisances once in the morning. We say, Samasta Vaishnav Ki. We say, what do you say? Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. And everybody offers the collective, generic, the generic Natibi. The collective, generic obeisances. The worldwide, universal obeisances in all ISKCON temples. At the end of Mangalarti. All right, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Okay, everyone, this is one obeisances for every Vaishnava in all creation, past, present, and future. Are you out there? Are you ready? Here I go. Vanchakopa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Vas. Work done. Finished. Hogya. Where's Prasad? But this is not the bhajan pot, or you can say bhajan pranali, the system, the path of bhajan that established by Rupa and Raghunath. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling here, at the level of nishtha, these types of feelings, these types of moods come in a person's heart. I want to follow these stalwart acharyas. I want to do as they do, in whatever way I can. Of course, they sit down and chant 1 lakh of rounds every day, and they engage in lila pravesh in their siddhadeya, and they render various services there. So I may not be, there means in Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes, I may not be sufficiently realized or qualified to have all of that adhikar or access to such that practice in siddhupena chatrahi. But wherever I am, we should start. If we're on the level of sadhak, in our sadhaka sharir, or our practitioner's body, and we don't have familiarity or awareness of our siddhadeya, then we follow Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami in their sadhaka rup. Right? Seva rupena, let me say, we follow their sadhaka rup and do what they were doing. They didn't need to offer all these obeisances. They didn't need to chant all these astakams. They wrote them. Rupa Goswami wrote so many astakams. For whom? As you must have heard, being around for some time, there's something called Shruti Dhara. Dhara means to hold. Shruti means whatever you've heard. So they had like 500 gigabyte hard drives. 500 gigabyte hard drives for memories. Inside, between their ears, they had 500 gigabyte hard drives. So whatever they heard, they could remember and recall and speak. So what need is there for them to write anything down? Why do they have to write any astakams down? Chaitanya astakam, Govardhan astakam, Lalita astakam, Radhakund astakam. There's no need. It's like if you have a computer with every book on your hard drive, you don't carry a bunch of books around with you. Oh, I have 25 trunks with all the books. No, I have it on my hard drive, a little thing like this. There's no need for them. Oh, I have to write these astakams down because I want to recite this astakam and glorification of Radharani. Radhika astakam. And then I can look at my little bhajan book. Songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas by Rupa Goswami. Songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas by Rupa Goswami. Astakams and stotras. Oh, let me turn. No, it's all there. They just press a button and it comes out. So they wrote them for us. They're for us. Krishna's Kaviraj. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. But we say, what is this stuff? I don't need all this stuff. What is this stuff? We don't even chant them. We don't sing them anything. So that means that we have, what all this means, the bottom line of all this is, if we have, as it says, if we have no inspiration to pursue the ideal character, service, and qualities of the Sad Goswamis, that means that we have no nishtha. That's the converse. If this thing is true, then converse is like this. Specifically, the sadhaka will follow. He'll be inspired to follow, and he'll want to follow. and he will follow their example of chanting fixed number of rounds, uttering a fixed number of prayers and asticams. But we say, oh, it's so much trouble. And I don't know the meter. This is Malini meter and Tundaka meter and Vasanta Tilaka meter. And it's so long. My tongue is so tired. And it's all Sanskrit. And my language is Russian. And, oh, my head hurts and forget it. Or my language is Punjabi or Hindi or something. Look, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. I'm a simple guy. I mean, you know, give me a break. Isn't there a simple process? They told us you just chant Hare Krishna. Now you're starting to complicate things. You know, when they came in and we joined, they said there's only 3 words. And now you say there's 3 million words. There's all these 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam, and there's this Gita with these 700 verses. Now there's all these... confirmed. You just have to know that mantra. If you know that mantra, that's all you need. That's what happens when we try to chant. Our minds go, grrr. We try to chant these asticams. And our mind goes, grrr, like that. But the whole point is, this is puja. This is worship. This is worship of Raghunath. Because they're watching. They are Trikalagya. They can see past, present, and future. And these are for us. If nothing else, then read the English. All right, I can't chant Sanskrit. So that's a good excuse. That helps you. That helps you avoid doing any sankhya gan. I can't chant Sanskrit, so then there's no sankhya gan. There's no following them in their sadhaka roops. But then we can say, "Well, read the English." Oh, so much trouble. Now where do you stand? Now where do you stand? Why should I follow? I mean, it should be spontaneous. Why do I have to follow this system? Like a system, this verse and that verse. You should be able to just do your thing. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's fun. You know, love is like free. I mean, why do you give all this like shape to it and try to put it in a box? You know, the ultimate goal is love. I mean, preeti, prem. Just let it flow. Today I chant a little bit, and tomorrow I do a little smarin, and then the next day I do a little snoring. You know, hearing chanting and snoring them. You know, there's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. There's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Snoranam. Smaranam becomes Snoranam. I'm meditating Leela. This is Madhurya Kanamani. Vishnu Chakravarti says that there's increasing tendency to sleep in bhajan. It's called laya. Because we're speaking about nishta. So these are the symptoms of anishtita bhakti. Anishtita bhakti has 6 different symptoms. There's more actually, there's 11. There's 5 gross and 6 subtle. With the mind and the senses like this. So one of them he says is laya. L-A-Y-A. Like pralaya means destruction. So laya means the increasing tendency to sleep when doing bhajan. And it increases more. It's something when you're doing kirtan. It's more when you're doing japa. And it's most when you're doing smarand. So it's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Snoranam. So when we're in Mangalarti and Kirtan's going on, some people sleep. We've all, at least if you've been around enough years in enough temples with enough new people, you'll see people standing there sleeping. You're like, they're just standing there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Bum, bum, bum. And they're sleeping. Then somebody blows a conch, and they go, and then they come out. It's like an alarm clock. I've seen. So that's it. Then when one chants japa, that everyone has, you know, full real vigyan of that. Everyone has full vigyan and realization of sleeping when you're chanting. Hare Krishna. And then smaranam. If we ever even try to do smaranam, then you'll really sail off into nowhere land when you try to smaranam. Because the mind is tamasic. These modes of nature are residing in the body. And they take shelter in different places. And they're always taking turns. Sometimes sattva rules, sometimes tama. In the night, tama rules. In the day, rajic rules. When we're peaceful, sattva is ruling. They're taking turns sitting in the chair. It's like the director's chair. You have some office, the manager's chair. Sometimes tamagun sits in the chair. Okay, go to sleep. Then Rajagun comes, hey, get out, I'm in charge. Then he throws that, He throws tamagun off the managing chair, director's chair, and then he sits there. Okay, move. Move, because movement is rajagun. Get up, go to work, get your books, go to school, get dressed, go eat. So much rajagun. And then you're sitting in the office and you just sit peacefully at your desk and you think a little bit. And that's sattvagun. Peacefulness, thought, contemplation. So then sattvagun comes, hey, rajagun, get out. You know, he's in the office now, get lost. So then he sits in his office because he has to think. He has some thinking job, so he has to think. So there's some sattvagun there. He has some thoughts, and then he wants to do some movement, and then rajagun comes, like this. Or sometimes they share the chair together. Two guys, sattvagun and rajagun, sit on the same director's chair. You're thinking and acting at the same time. So this nishta, this is represented by Krishna Krishna. This is represented here. And then these are the realizations of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so we should try to follow his teachings of bhajan. He's saying that, he's also including here, that not only will we be inspired at the level of nishta, which is represented by these three, this third pair of holy names, Krishna, Krishna, represents Trinada Pisunichana, is included there. Well, we will be inspired to be like them, to act like them, to think like them, to follow in their footsteps and develop their qualities, and ultimately will eternally follow their footsteps as Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami and Mayapur Nitya Leela, Navadvipa Nitya Leela. So then he's saying that just as, this is the positive thing, there's pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti is positive and nivritti is negative. So the pravritti means that we follow their example as sadhakas for bhajan. And the nivritti means the negative, the renunciation, the path of detachment. So that's also described. What did they do positively to progress in bhajan as sadhakas, which we should follow in their footsteps, anusaran, follow in their footsteps. What did they do positive? We should also do. What did they avoid negatively? What did they avoid? Or what is the negative aspect of their bhajan? The negative aspect is also told in the same Shikshastakam. He's filling it. My Chokidar is attentively looking at the water tank as he's filling it. If it overfills, we all get shower. It comes like this, no? It's like special Abhishek. So what are the negative things that we should avoid? It's called Nivritti Marg. There's Pravritti Marg, the path of positive acceptance, and Nivritti Marg means the path of rejection. So what verse in Goswami Astakam, what verse represents the negative path? The path that we should, also following them, that we should renounce, we should give up. I'm saying another verse. So that's part of the same verse we're discussing. Because that's part of the positive path, actually, pravritti. To control the eating and sleeping, that's positive. Because we do eat and we do sleep. We accept eating and we accept sleeping, but we control nidra ahara. Nidra is sleeping, ahara is food. Huh? Yes. Yes, that's there, that's in the beginning, even before this verse. Tyaktva turnam shesha mandalapati shenim sadhatu chavat bhutva dina kanesha ko karunaya gopina kanta shrito gopi bhava rasam ritabdi lahari. But the first two lines are actually what we should, because gopi bhava rasam ritabdi, we want to come to that platform of gopi bhava. And of course, because that's really what they were in. They were absorbed in Gopi Bhava and the other things went. But this would also come at the level of nishta. When one is nishta, or has nishta in bhajan, then he will also avoid, these lines will be there. Tyaktva means tyagi. Tyagi, vairagi, renounce. Mandala pati. Pati means opulence, wealth. Mandala means the circle of wealth. Aristocracy, wealth, enjoyment, pleasure. He'll have no interest in it, no need. He will avoid bad association, avoid materialists and mayavadis, and he'll give up his attachment to men or women, depending on what his own gender is. Or their. This third pair of names represents Bhajan Nishta, Krishna Krishna. Performing Nam Bhajan with firm faith and conviction, day and night, such Nishta in Bhajan extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Bhava Mahadavagni. At this stage, the sadhaka is prideless and he respects all and exhibits the four qualities described in Trinadapi. So that's Nishta, Krishna, Krishna. Then, well, we were discussing for so many days, Hare, Hare. Hare, Hare is the fourth pair of names. Hare, Krishna, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. This is the level of ruchi, taste in bhajan. If one has taste for Krishna's name, really has taste, then he loses his taste for material things, because the name is transcendental. It is Krishna himself. And he has so much taste. Not only does he lose his taste for material things, but he loses his taste for spiritual things too. This is the most unusual aspect. Because many Vaishnavas and spiritual people or transcendentalists, they have a great taste for spiritual things. They have a taste for liberation. They want it. They desire it. They can taste it. And they want to taste it forever. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava, he loses all taste, even for spiritual attainments. Janmani janmani shri bhavatat bhaktir hoitakitui. He doesn't even care about liberation. He has no taste for that. He loses his taste for material things, and he loses his taste for spiritual things. Most people have a hankering and a thirst. They have a thirst, or a trishna, mukti trishna. They have a thirst for liberation. That's why they're performing their sadhana, bhajan, as Vaishnavas, Ram Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas. They want liberation. They want something. But the Krishna Bhakta is Naishkam. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, Sakale Ateva Shanta. Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami, Sakale Ashanta. So the devotee is peaceful. He doesn't want anything. Nadana Najana Nasundaram. So this represents ruchi. We have such a taste for Krishna's name. A taste for Krishna's name means we have a taste for serving Krishna. I'll serve Krishna now, and here, and there, and everywhere. Just like now we're serving Krishna. We close our eyes. Death means we close our eyes, and we open our eyes, and we're serving Krishna. It's like that. We were very tired before class, so we had about 15 minutes, and someone encouraged us, well, why don't you lie down for 15 minutes? It's better than nothing. So feeling sick and some tired. I said, okay. So I adjusted the clock for 15 minutes to go off. So then I was lying there and I said, I don't really feel tired. And then next thing I know, beep, beep, beep. And then I opened my eyes. And it appeared to me that I didn't really rest. I mean, I knew my eyes were closed. And when the clock went off, I woke up and I looked, oh, that 15 minutes is finished. But I feel like I'm exactly where I was before. And the realization I had, I said, this is exactly like death. This is exactly like death. You're going on, and then you close your eyes, and then you open your eyes, and you don't feel like, you don't remember. You don't remember where you were before and what you were doing. And then you just do, it's time. I have to act. So you close your eyes at death, and you open your eyes, and you act. But because we're acting the whole life in devotional service, when we close our eyes and open our eyes again, then we'll act again in devotional service. And that's all death is. You just close your eyes. Alarm goes off. You wake up. The alarm is, wah! You cry when you're born. So that's the alarm. When they slap you, go, wah! So that's like the alarm. So you begin your service. Because your first thing, your first service is prasad seva. Your mother gives her breast, and you take prasad and milk. Because you'll be born in the family of devotees. And your mother's eating mahaprasad, and that's becoming breast milk. The first service, the baby, so you close your eyes, you die, and you wake up, wah! Oh. Mahaprasad Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Savam Panivatarajan Vishwas. Of course, you don't know the prayer when you're first born. But by the time you're five, you learn it. So it's like this. And everyone's so afraid of death, but devotees think, okay, Hare Krishna. And wake up, Hare Krishna. So this ruchi is such. This pair of names stimulates unalloyed bhakti within the heart. In other words, when one actually gets ruchi in bhajan, He has this desire, this conviction, that I really want Krishna, nothing else. I don't want anything else. There's so many things that are there, but I don't want any of these things. And even if I have any of these things, I have these things in my backpack, and sometimes we have some things in our backpack. We're climbing a mountain, We're very attached to those things, whatever they are. But if we slip and our backpack slips off and goes down the mountain, then we don't have any more attachment because it's taken away. But sometimes due to our prarabdha karma or whatever, we have so many attachments that are what we're carrying on our back. And when we don't have this ruchi and bhajan, we're very attached to those things. When ruchi comes in bhajan, we say, anyway, I have to carry this load until I die or until I, whatever happens, you know, next stage of life. But I'm no longer attached to this load I'm carrying because I have a ruchi for bhajan. So then you deal with your, you carry out your duties in whatever position you are in society, husband, wife, whatever. But you have so much ruchi that you've lost all attachment to these activities. You're no longer attached and don't care so much about them, although you carry out your duty without attachment. This is due to ruchi. This pair of names stimulates unalloyed bhakti within the heart and delivers a taste. At this stage of ruchi, the sadhaka has no other prominent desire but to serve Krishna. The transcendental sentiments of such prayers as Shreya Kaivrava Chandrika Vitaranam and Nadana Najana Nasundaram explain bhajan at this stage. So this is what we discussed over the last couple of weeks. And then the next one is this Hari Ram, which is we're going to start tomorrow. So just another point. This third pair of holy names, Krishna Krishna. With the third pair of names, one adopts the character and behavior of a pure devotee, and he chants Krishna Krishna day and night with steadfastness. With the fourth pair, Hare Hare, causeless devotional service is awakened, and one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with great relish and ruchi. So I'll stop here if there's any questions. Comments. Just a little bit of review, and tomorrow we'll start Panchamayam Sadhana and discussing this verse of Lord Chaitanya. Now he's going to call out Nanda Nandan. Ai Nanda Tanuja. He was born from the Tanu, Tanu Janma. He was born from the body of Nanda. That is Nanda Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So at this stage of bhajan, one starts crying. Up to this point, one is somewhat in control of himself at the level of nishtha and ruchi. But when one comes to this level of asakti, then he starts crying. The genuine crying of a child for his mother. Because when you're attached, when you become attached to Krishna and then you realize the separation, then you cry in separation. We become attached to Krishna's nam, rupa, guna, and lila, asakti. We become attached and very much desirous to serving Krishna. But then we say, "What? Where is he? Hey Krishna, Braja Devi ke chalalite, hey Nanda suno kutaha, Shri Govar dana kalpa pada patale kalindi vani kutaha, Goshanta viti sarvato vraja pure kedar mahavivalo." So then in that attachment is there, but you're attached to your lover. You've heard about your lover, you've chanted your lover's name, you remembered your lover. Now your lover is present. The presence of Krishna has become very prominent in your mind and heart. But you're feeling separation, so then you cry, "Where are you?" So this is pretty much the activity of the because now you become, in the beginning, now you're going to be jatarati sadhaka, because this is a sakti. So in the beginning of level of a sakti, there's lots of crying. And as the sakti matures, then Krishna will reciprocate with your crying. He will come and dry your tears. This is described in Madhurya Kadambini. So we'll start crying tomorrow. Is there any questions? Yes.
Whereas in the application of some of these principles that we're hearing about, could you say that it would be a better policy to try and gradually implement them in small increments, because I find sometimes when I'm chanting, reflect on some of these things, can be quite bewildering how you kind of incorporate it all into the chanting. So could you say that progress in chanting will be where you just gradually work on, like for instance, meditating on Hari Hari rather than trying to meditate on the meanings of all the different six names.
Amiatma Prabhu is asking a question about how to practically and easily apply these different principles that are being mentioned. And that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the book. He says, whatever level you're on, you just stay there. This is the complete bhajan manual. This is complete from beginning. This is taking us from adoshata, from shada to prema. So whatever level we're on, say for example, we have problem with faith. We don't have much faith. Then we stay in chapter 1. And we just stay there. It's not that we don't have to eat the whole book in one day. We're going through. We're giving like 1 year, one life's course. One life course and two kartiks. So one will chant the Maha Mantra, the full Maha Mantra. One will read the different verses from chapter 1. And he'll meditate on each of the word meanings, the meaning of the verses, along with chanting, or as I said the other day, separately from chanting, you can just study these verses and see how they apply to Shraddha and build his faith. And then, or you can do along with chanting and meditating the verses. And then that level is the first mantra, Hare Krishna. Then in Hare Krishna, he just stays there. And he says this, when this becomes deeply realized and deeply, the faith becomes very deep, then he'll have a natural, because that faith will be such that he'll find himself surrounded by sadhus in sadhu sangha. Then he's in chapter 2. And then it's not. Then he deeply meditates on nanam akari bahuda. He says niva sarva shakti. He says nija sarva shakti. He realizes now I'm in the association of sadhus. These sadhus are Krishna shakti. Nija sarva shakti. See, all these realizations come. He spends all his time meditating on this second verse. He's in the association of sadhus. Now in their association, he's doing bhajan. And he's becoming purified. And he just stays there with that verse. He's chanting the Maha Mantra. He's studying all the supportive verses from Bhagavatam in chapter 2. Until he can learn very nicely how to deal and relate to the different devotees. And he's studying Upadeshamrita and those different verses about association. And that becomes very... He works out all the details of that. And that represents a second pair of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's like this. So it's not a rush job. It's not a rush job. Oh, well, really... I'm at the level of praying, so I'll just go to chapter 8. It's not like that. We have to honestly assess. And he gives us the standard how to assess. As I mentioned, if we're at the level of nishtha, if our bhajan has come to nishtha, then we're very keen to channel these astakams. And this will come within us. And if we're not, then we say, we're not interested in all that. And not interested in their ideal character. Because this is what it means to follow the residents of Vrindavan. Gopi Bhav, or Mandri Bhav, Raganuga Sadhana. Rag means you have an intense desire to follow the moods and services and activities of the residents of Vrindavan. Who are the residents of Vrindavan? They're Rupa Goswami and Rupa Mandri. So we're not in a spiritual body, we're in a material body. So we have to follow them as sadhakas, and we have to follow them as siddhas when we come qualified with that. So this is part of Raganuga Bhakti. So if we have no greed and no attachment to follow them and do what they do, then that means we're not even at nishtha. Which means we have no rag. Because rag means, I see the way Rupa Goswami is acting. I see the way he's serving as Rupa Goswami. And I want to do that. And I also read about all his services as Raghunath Das. He's brushing Radharani's hair and Vilavkusa Manjali and so many things. And I also hanker to do services like that. But it means you only want to do service that Raghunath does in his Siddhadeya, but you don't want to do the service that Raghunath does in his Sadhakadeya. See, it's like half a hand philosophy. This is not the teaching of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is not the teaching of Rupa Sanatan. So we follow the Rupa Sanatan Padati. So we follow in Sadhaka Rup and Siddha Rup. If the Siddha Rup is not there yet, then we have to follow somewhere, then it's Sadhaka Rup. And if we have no desire to even follow in Sadhaka Rup, then where are we? We certainly have no rag. We have no, the qualification of Raghunuga Bhakti is there's some rag. A natural greed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Their character, their behavior, their activities. And that's what we're describing. So if someone says, I want to follow Rupa Goswami. Okay, chant these asakams. Forget it. Offer obeisance. Forget it. And what is this? All bogus talk. I want to be like that. I want to serve like Raghunath Das in association of all the Sakis and Mandris and the Kunjas and it's all very attractive and appealing to me. Okay, then this is the bhajan path. This is the bhajan pranali. This is the path of bhajan, process of bhajan. Is that clear? So we're giving this whole big package with, okay, now shrink it down, okay, here's where I am. That's your individual decision or within consultation with guru, whatever. And then you practice accordingly. At the same time, what I've been told is that we are zeroing in a particular chapter where we may be actually in devotional progress, but we can progressively also read through the book, because all these verses are also helping bring, you know, pull us out, like we have one foot here in anarthanivrti, but then we're touching the next step. Like, say we're on a ladder, our feet are on the ladder here, but we're reaching our hand up to this step. So our feet are on these two steps, but we're going in a ladder, but we're touching with this hand, we're touching this step. We haven't moved our feet yet. So our feet are still in anarthanivrti, and we're working on all that. But we read these other chapters also, so we can touch them and be inspired. Our mind can be inspired, our consciousness can be inspired, and we become purified by hearing about, especially when we read in this chapter, there's so many prayers from Radharas Sudaniti and Radharani, and so we get so much intimate, and that's all nourishment. That's all nourishment. He said, the acharyas that teach this book, they say we should touch these chapters, like I'm saying, touch, and get some drops of inspiration and nectar for that. But we have to say, well, really, I'm not on a level of a sakti, but I'm aspiring, and it sounds good, and it's attractive, and these kind of moods that, and all this kinkri bhava that's being described, and which we'll find in this chapter, this is very much purifying and very much inspiring. But I'm down here, but I'm going to go there. So the more we become inspired by that sadhya, the more we'll quickly get up from the stage we're in. And we're standing on these two steps of the ladder, and we're touching it. Somehow we don't have enough strength to pull up yet. We're still stuck on those two, but we're touching that top step. That top step is very nice. Well, I have to get up there, and then once I get out of this, then I can move up. So the whole, we can go through and study the whole book, but we'll focus on one particular chapter and one particular. It's called. That's why he says this is practice on the level of attachment, practice on the level of anarthanivrti, practice, you know, like this. This is how he calls it. And then for the Jatarati Sadaka, he's having his whole unique experience that each pair of names, he was in Bhav, each pair of names is taking him into the Leela, which is described in the last verse of each chapter. And he's just flowing down the river of Swarasiki meditation. Swaras, he's tasting his own bliss, his own rasa with the Lord. Swaras. Swarasiki Upasana. So we're doing mantra upasana. Mantra Mayi Upasana. Our worship is mixed with the mantra. Mayi means mixed with or absorbed with. So we're in anarthanivrti, so then we're in chapter 2. And then we read these verses about Nam Namakari and all these potencies. And then because we says Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Nija Sarva Shakti, all my potencies are there in the holy name. Okay. And then we don't have realization. But when we study this verse over and over again with all these supporting verses from Bhajan Rahasya, then we realize what Lord Chaitanya, Nija Sarva Shakti, means when I chant the holy name, this holy name, when I chant it nicely with this Shraddha, this holy name carries me into the circle of Vaishnava association. Then I realize, oh, now I have such good association. I'm associating with such good devotees. This is the Nija Sarva Shakti. This is Krishna's own Shakti. What Shakti? It's called Kripa Murti Shakti. That the Guru, the Vaishnavas, they are the form of the mercy of God. And I'm surrounded by them, and they're telling me, they're teaching me, and they're helping me. This is the mercy of my Nam Bhajan at the level of Shraddha. Now I'm doing Nam Bhajan at the level of anarthanivrti and Sarasanga. I mean, Sarasanga, Bhajanakriya, anarthanivrti. So so many deep realizations will come from each aspect of this Nam Namakari Bahuda. And Durdevam. I feel really fallen. They're all so great devotees. And Durdevam. And Durdevam means I'm so offensive. And I make this offense and that offense. So all this is packed in that. It's deep. It's deep, like you say, but it's presented stage by stage. So it's not overwhelmingly confusing. It's very clear. It's very clear. Find the stage you're at and follow that chapter and those verses and this particular verse of Shikshastakam. And then, you know, and see how that's related to that pair of holy names. That will also come. This is a practice. Anything else?
Yes. Small comment. In the last days in Vrindavan, just what's happening on Danda Prabhu, last Saturday on Surya Kund recitation of
some songs from Govinda Lilamrita, like Sri Nandananda Ashtakam and Radhika Ashtakam, like that. So in his association, because he relished all these prayers and like that, he said, like, if you read this every day, you will see what happens, like that. So, like you said, I want to say his association is very important, because I don't have place for that, but in his association, somehow or other, you can see how he relished that. And if you have a lot of association, you somehow or other got some taste. As you said, I'm stuck down, but somehow you're touching something, you can use some attraction.
Pulls you up. The real thing is, it's all about mercy. And all these great acharyas are living personalities. He who reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die, while thou art living still and sound. And while living, they try to spread the holy name around. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has phrased this, that Vaishnavas are always living in the transcendental sound. So these astikams, that means Rupa Goswami and Raghunath and Krishna's Kaviraj, and others, Narottama Vishnath, they're living in their bhajans, they're living in their astikams and their teachings. So when we surrender, when we approach them with humility, and we're not only approaching an astakam or a prayer or a song, we're approaching an individual. It's all personal, it's all consciousness. It's not a language. We're not approaching language. We're not approaching Sanskrit or Bengali, we're approaching people. The persons behind the language, the persons behind the prayers, and they're all transcendental persons. And they're all well-wishers. They're all acharyas and gurus and well-wishers in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So we're approaching them with all humility and all sincerity. And this attracts their heart, because Vaishnavas are soft-hearted. So they become, but they say, oh, but if you come cheaply, one man came from Delhi. He said, oh, I see you've written all these books. You know, can you tell me the secrets of Raghunuga Bhajan? He thinks I'm just going to give something that, you know, it's accumulated over so many lifetimes. Yeah, sit down, A to Z. It's not like that. There's nowhere told like that. And no one wants that. You don't give some secret thing, a special thing, to just somebody comes in like a newspaper reporter. Oh, can you tell me A to Z? I want to write a newspaper story for Hindustan Times. It's not like that. First, Tadvidi Pranipatena Paribhashnina Sevya Vidakshanti Tegyanam Ganyas Tatvadarshana. There must first there surrender. Genuine humility and sincere inquiry. Then service. Then instruction. But nowadays, in the Kali Yuga, people say, hey, Haribo, tell me everything. Do you mind if I record it? I have my MP3 player. And nowadays people are getting very clever, because they know that many sadhus, they don't like to be recorded. So they put the tape recorder in a bead bag. They have these little MP3 players, and they put it on before they go inside, and then they secretly record. It's happened to me. People have come here, and later on someone says, I heard you said this and that. I said, really? So now we have to frisk everybody at the door. We have to have one of those, like in the airport, they have these checkers, you know, they have to check with a little thing, see any metal detectors, and, hey, iRiver, you have an iRiver MP3 player, give me that. Confiscate that. So these type of transcendental exchanges, it requires heart. You must approach with heart, not with mind. Because these acharyas, they live in the land of the heart. They live in heartland. Goloka is heartland. There's only heartland. So if you're approaching with your mind or with your senses or body, you can never enter heartland. But when you approach Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas, Prabhupada for that matter, with your heart, which means the sincere desire to surrender, to submit, to follow, to serve, then you capture their hearts. You win their attention. And then from wherever they are, they reciprocate. And that astakam becomes alive. Not so much with just the content of the astakam, but Rupa Goswami himself manifests there, or Vishwanath or Narottam. And that's what we want. We don't want Sanskrit. We want Rupa. We want Rupa Goswami's darshan. That is our bhajan and pujan. It is our wealth. It is the goal of our life. Sri Rupa Mantripada. Bhajanamora Sampada. There's nothing more. Sampada means wealth. We don't want any more wealth than that. We don't want the Sanskrit. We don't want the astakam. We want Rupa Goswami's service and mercy. And this is how we get it. You might say, well, I want Rupa Goswami's mercy. I want Rupa Manjari's mercy. Well, how do you get it? So they're so kind. They left all these astakams and prayers and Padyavali and all their books, through their books, through their astakams. But it all depends on the approach. What is the approach? With heart and hand, we approach them and beg. Tears in the eyes, our hearts in our hands, with tears in our eyes, and submission in our minds. This is the approach. And that will conquer anyone, even in this world. If you approach someone with your heart in your hand, tears in your eyes, and submission in your mind, they'll be conquered. So they're also persons. They're the supreme personalities of servitor. Servitorship Godhead, Sevaka Bhagavan. They're the Sevites, they're the personalities of service. They're Radharani's Amsha, they're expansions of Radharani. Can you imagine? Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath, Narottam, they're all Radharani's expansions. So how much loving, how much compassion, how much kind. But they're testing, they're seeing where is you at? Where is your heart? Where are you coming? Where are you coming from, as they say? Are you just shopping? Are you just writing news articles? Are you just are you a fact man? Are you information technology agent? Are you simply collecting information for the internet? You have a website and you're trying to collect some facts. So